We need to know God. Because if we know God and understand who God is, it should change how we think and how we act in this life. Or at least it should. Knowing God should change my thinking from my way to God's way. And knowing God should change and produce a higher standard of living in my life and in the life of those that are around me. You see, oftentimes we look at my way in regards to religion, my plan, my way. But we really need to look at God's way. Man's plan usually begins with statements like I think or I feel or I want. And oftentimes that's not an all-encompassing plan. But God's plan is. Oftentimes man's plan only fits that particular person. For instance, what works for me may not work for you, and vice versa. But and sadly, some try to take this and apply it to religion. This doesn't work in religion, though, but we try to make it that way. It doesn't matter how I think. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I want when it comes to religion. It only matters what God wants and God, what God has said and what God desires me to do. This is, when we look at God's view, in view of God, our emotions and our desires matter. Our intellect matter. It isn't that how we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. See, we have to do it God's way. We can't do it on what I think or what I want. And that's why it's important for us to know God and know about God. We must come to the knowledge of God, who God is. If you turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, it says, "Incline your ear to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it'll be pleasant if you keep them with you, that you may be they may be ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. Have I not written to you excellent things of counsels and knowledge to make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may correctly answer him who sent you?" When we look at who God is, we begin to understand his characteristics, that we can have trust in him, and that we can have a desire to follow after him. But we must know the characteristics and understand his characteristics. Now, we got to understand this as well. The characteristics of God are immeasurable and insurmountable. But yet, we need to still know what God has revealed to us, that we can understand these characteristics and appreciate who he is. Now, we're going to look at three characteristics of God. But as we look at them, I want us to examine three things and think about three things. Why is it important for me to know this about God? What are the implications of knowing this about God? And what should my response be to each of these characteristics? First, I want to look at the holiness of God. This attribute of God sets him apart from all creation and all created beings. It refers to his majesty, his perfect moral purity. There is absolutely no sin, no evil thought in God at all. God is holy. But yet there's erroneous thinking out there. Many atheists claim that God is not holy, or there is no such thing as a God because he created evil. But we need to look at it this way. God's holiness is the definition of what is pure and righteous in all the universe. God created man with the ability to choose right and wrong. God could not create evil because he is the definition of what is holy. But yet, we have the choice to either follow him and follow his holiness, or we have a choice to not and do those things that are evil. He has given us that choice. God is holy. God, everything about his characteristic is holy. There's no evil. There's no sin in him at all. He is the perfect moral purity. And we need to know this about God. Why is it important for us to know this? If God is set apart from all that is that has from all that was created and has perfect moral purity, then we can know that God has no evil motives for any of us, and only that which is good and beneficial to each of us. Now, what are the implications of knowing this about God? Well, we can have confidence in Him because He knows what is best for me. We can have trust in Him because He'll lead us in the right direction. This will lead us to knowledge of what God has done for each of us and the knowledge of what God expects from each of us. Now, what is my response to this characteristic? I should submit to Him in all aspects of my life. I should desire to be holy because my God is holy. He is pure, so I should desire to be pure. He is moral, and I should desire to be moral. So when we look at this, know that God is holy, and do our best to be holy ourselves. God is omniscient. Omniscience means all-knowing. God knows everything. He, in His wisdom and knowledge, is infinite. And we look at wisdom, God is the God of wisdom. And we know that God is all-knowing and the God of all wisdom. We're kind of taking these two characteristics together because they go hand in hand. You see, wisdom is the ability to devise perfect ends, to achieve those ends by the most perfect means. God makes no mistake. He is a Father who truly knows what's best for not only you, but for me and for everybody. He knows what is best. As Paul explained it in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, he said, "Oh, the depths and the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God." You see, God's wisdom far exceeds the wisdom of men. In Isaiah 55, in verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord." So we need to understand that we can't think the way God thinks unless He has revealed us to what we should think and how we should act. We have to look at God's wisdom and know that it is what is best for us. And Paul said, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. The wisdom of God declares His glory. So, we also need to understand this. It is impossible to hide anything from God. God possesses perfect and precise knowledge. David describes His omniscience by saying this, and this is in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path in my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there was word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before. You laid Your hand upon me." Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. You see, David looked at this and said, "God, I can't. This is too wonderful for me. Oh, You know everything about me." You look at this and we can see this quality of God shows a greatness about Him. And what are the implications, or what is the importance for me to know this? That God is all-knowing, and He knows me, and He knows you. He not only does He know us, of who I am, but He knows everything I do. And what are the implications of this? Well, my actions, my thoughts, my motives must be in line with God's, or I will not be pleasing to Him. That makes God a just God. That's another characteristic we're not going to look at today. But if God knows everything about us, He is a just God. Because He can make proper decisions, especially when it comes to judgment. He knows what we have done good or what we have done bad in this life. He knows everything. We can't hide anything from God. And knowing this, He knows everything about me individually and you individually. And what should our response be to this characteristic? We should see God in every part of our life. We need to know Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you there, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is perfect and acceptable will of God. We need to look at our life and see that we need to give God our everything in every aspect of our life. We need to strive for His knowledge and strive to serve Him in our life. Remember Proverbs 22 that we looked at the beginning? It says, incline your ear to the words of the wise, apply your mind to knowledge. And we need to keep that with us, and it need to be ready on our lips, that we may trust in the Lord, and that we may know certainly the words of truth. When we are striving to know and seek out God, we know that God is the God of all wisdom. He wants what's best for us. And so we look at that, and this leads into our third point. God is omnibenevolent. This God cares for each and every person. He cares for me. He cares for you. Over and over in scriptures, we see that God proves this characteristic to be true. Right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God gave them hope of a Redeemer. Genesis 3:15. Later on, when God's people were enslaved in Egypt, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, it says, I had surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. You see, he saw them. And not only that, he heard their cry. And so we can know that God is a God who hears and is compassionate. And he said, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver you from the power of the Egyptians and bring them up from the land of to a land of good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he goes on to say, now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen their oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. You see, God saw it. He heard it. He knew about it. And he is going to take care of it because he cares what is best for them. We look at Psalm 139 again, verses 17 and 18, where David also knew this quality of God by saying, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they'd be outnumbered by the sand. We can't count the sand. God's quality of Him caring for us, we can't even look at and understand that completely, because He wants what's best for us. He wants what's best. And if we tried to sum it all up, we couldn't, because it outnumbers the sand. Even if man is wicked, God cares for them. That's the difference between a God, a foreign God or the true and the living God. God cares for everybody, whether you choose to follow Him or whether you choose not to follow Him. God cares for you. God cares for them. And when we look at these, we can look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, where God said, even to those that are wicked, He said, do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather that they should turn from His ways and live. He wants them to turn from their evil ways so that they can live. And knowing that God is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but have everlasting life. Each of these examples shows that God cares and is concerned for all of mankind. He cares for you. What is important for me to know about God? Why is it important to know this characteristic? It's because God cares for you. He cares for me. God loves me. God loves you. John 3:16 through 21 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That he who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one the only begotten Son of God. And this condemnation that the light is coming into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. You see, we should know this about God. And what are the implications of knowing this about God? God wants what's best for me. He wants what's best for you. God wants me to have eternal life. And God wants me to practice the truth. Let's look in your Bibles at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, God cared for his people, but especially he gave us something far better than those of faith that he brings up through here. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible." We can look at this and know that this world around us, that God loves us, God cares for us. We can have faith in him. We can look at this world around us and know that his attributes are clearly seen, yet we can't see God. God's work is hand is behind us. He spoke the world into existence. But yet he's given us witnesses. And I want us to go through these witnesses. Look in your Bible. Look at Hebrews 11. We can look at name after name, and we're going to look at them. Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah had faith. And then over in verse 20, it says Isaac. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Joseph had faith. Moses had faith. But I want us to get to this point in verse 39. This point means that we need to know this. 39. And all these have obtained a good testimony through faith. They had a good testimony. They did what God wanted them to do. They had faith in God. But yet they didn't receive the promise. God having provided something better for us. He has given us something better. That we should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, also, since we have surrounded by this great cloud of witness, this is in chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can look at all these witnesses and know this, that he has given us something better. He has given us Jesus. We can look unto Jesus. We can cast our sins upon him. We can know that he has given us such love towards us and cares for us that we can be saved from these sins that ensnare us. And we can run with endurance that race, that striving to be with God eternally because of Jesus. He is the author, the finisher of our faith. And what should our response be to the characteristic that God is, an all-loving God? It is this: we should desire to have a relationship to him. Strive to walk in the light and looking unto Jesus and striving to be like Christ, because God loves us and he sent us his son and he wants us to have that relationship. So as we look at the characteristics of God, that God is holy, therefore we should strive for holiness and submit our lives to God. God is all-knowing, and he is the God of all wisdom. God knows you and wants you to have that relationship. He also knows everything we do, but we should look unto God to make sure we're doing things that are pleasing to him. And we need to know that God cares for you, and God cares for me. In God's love, he has done everything he could do. He sent his son to this earth, but yet, he has done everything he can do, but he's given you a choice. He's given me a choice. Am I going to follow after him, or am I not going to follow after him? That's our part. God has given us everything that we can do. But he gives us a choice to follow him or not follow him. So the question for you is, knowing these characteristics of God, what will your response be? Will you choose to have a relationship with him? Will you choose to know him farther? Will you choose to do what God wants you to do according to his word, his revelation, what he has said for us to do? You see, because it is through Jesus. It is through Jesus that we can be saved and have our sins forgiven. But we must believe in Jesus. And how do we believe in Jesus? We got to look and understand who God is and understand his characteristics and understand what he has done for us. And when we know that, it'll come to Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. We can't go to God unless we know Christ. In order to know Christ, we must believe in him. We must confess that he is the Son of God. He is the one that the author and the finisher of our faith, as we mentioned earlier. And we must repent of our sins. We must repent of them. Look at the things that we've done and one, be sorry, but don't do them again. Turn from them and turn to God. And then we must be baptized. Have our sins washed away and live faithful to God the rest of our lives. If I can help you in your relationship with God, we can look at the more characteristics or more studies of what God has revealed to us. I would gladly study with you. Send me a message or call me, whatever I can do to help you. And I want you to know this, that God loves you.